Good morning. Welcome to Glenshall Valley Presbyterian Church, the church where anything can happen. Nursery is open. Library is open with the speaker and the crying room for, I may need to go in there. Annual Deacon Fall Pig Roast and our September the 15th first annual Back to Church Sunday. We'll be asking you to invite persons to church and going to make a Bible study with that at my home, or unless a lot of people sign up and too many, we'll pick a place. And be more information about that. And the Christian Education Meeting is on July 22nd here somewhere at 7 o'clock. I'm asking anyone who's interested in the Christian education of our church, especially towards the younger people, but you do not have to have children. We would love to hear what you have to say about the Christian education program, what we can do for our youth, maybe what we want for our adults, like having a small group Bible studies, different things, whether we'll have a youth group, what ages we have. We just want ideas. Maybe you've got ideas from churches you've been in before and you know something other churches are doing. So we're asking especially parents to come out and teachers to come out and past teachers to come out, and let's discuss it and see what we can do. The next meeting of the deacons will be August the 11th. There's no July meeting, and the Deacon Fellowship Lemonade and Cookie Sunday will be August the 4th. And I just think it was a wonderful Deacon's Lemonade Sunday last week. It always takes me a while to get anywhere, but by the time I got out there and seeing the little set up where the kids were sitting under the umbrellas and the lemonade and the cookies and people riding by and looking, showing that there's life here at Glenshall Valley. I just think it was a wonderful thing. So thank you, deacons, very, very much for what you're doing. The Shop for a Cause, August 24th, you can talk to B.J. Morrison. Passes are $5. That's taken off your bill. And all those proceeds go directly to our church. Monday night, Vacation Bible School begins at 6:30. That will run from 6:30 to 8:30 for five nights. I want to show you something on PowerPoint. Take a moment for this. As you know, we had the bad storms here in Pittsburgh. It even made the ABC national news, and we were affected here at Glenshall Valley. We were out power for about 3 days. And I thank Jim Teggy for coming down and putting up the tape, and we put up the little cones so nobody would drive, and the wires were hot. And I heard that Bev asked her son Dan, or he called Duquesne Law. That's exactly what I'm saying. We had called, but they had no record, and then Dan used to come to church here, saw it, and called in, and they came right out. So that was very, very nice. I don't know when we would have electricity. Yeah. So thank him for us. Thank him very much. So we had called, but they said they had no record of it. So we had some damage. I just put in a couple of pictures real quick. You see at the very top, I lettered these real quickly this morning. There's a couple of holes in the siding over here on this side of the church, and those will be taken care of. But you can see where the tree came down and hit the air conditioner. It was not the whole tree, it's the limb, and the man said that ants were up in there, and that's one of the reasons that broke off and fell. Now, I don't know if it did any damage to the air conditioner. I guess we would find out today. It took the power line. This is cutting in and out. It took the power line down when it came down. And Duquesne Light was nice enough to cut that up, pile the firewood up, and pile the branches up in another spot, and said a youth group can use it in the fire pit. So that was very nice. Now, take a personal moment. As I was writing this sermon, I started to title this, what's the State Farm motto? like a good neighbor. I kept having that on my mind, and it ended up being with the lectionary passage which I was preaching on. Those four passages, I was choosing this. And Monday I'd already chosen it, chose the passage, and was working on it, and was picking out a couple of examples, and I kept thinking about it, and I started thinking about my car insurance. And for about 3 weeks I had been thinking about the hill behind my house just goes straight down. I live on Effenlisle, and Willett's behind it, and you can see the tops of houses down further, and there's a deer trail right behind me. Well, a few years ago I poured a cement driveway, so it's kind of slick in the wintertime. So a few weeks ago I started thinking, maybe I ought to build up a little brick wall or put some railroad ties or something. If I ever slid, the car would hit those and not ever go over the hillside. Sometimes you feel like God is telling you something and you're not listening. Well, Tuesday night was session meeting night. So I spent all day Monday, all day Tuesday just studying. I had a lot of things to bring because July, August session meeting, then I was going on vacation. So I wanted to have all my ducks in a row, get all the information out. I had a lot I wanted to talk to them about and get permission for before I left so I'd be ready when I came back. So I got in my car to come to session meeting Tuesday night. It was 10 minutes to 7. Closed the garage door. Hit my Bluetooth. Went to call someone. Talked to them while I was on the way to the meeting. And it said, there's two of these names. I said, I don't have time for that. I cut the Bluetooth off and then realized I got a splitting headache. So I hit the garage door open or pressed the button. Opened the car door, ran in the house. I actually didn't even wait for the garage door to go open all the way. And I slid under, ran upstairs, and I hear this little boom. I think it's my garage door. Think nothing of it. I look at it when I get down, take my pill, water, run back down. I look up quickly at the garage door. So I don't see anything. I walk out where my car is supposed to be. Cars left. You know, we have smartphones and they're making these smart cars. I thought, well, not gonna wait on me, just decided to go ahead and go to the meeting. All the materials were in there, didn't need me. I don't do anything anyway. So I look over to the right. This is what I saw. Can you see that? I'll show it to y'all on the big screen after church. And here's another one. I made about 30 payments on it of about, I don't know, 60, I think. I don't know whether to laugh or cry. So I just called and said, come tow it out. And got it somewhere, and it's out there somewhere. And I didn't have rental insurance to get a car. So what am I going to do? Well, Robin had called me. She said, just take my car. So I've got her car out there. Been really sweet about it. Said, keep it as long as you need it. But haste makes waste. If you wonder why I move slow, because when I move fast, bad things happen. I know. But I got to add this little bit to the story, too, because I got a short sermon, so don't worry. This is the third wreck in my backyard. In 98, remember the Oldsmobile, black Oldsmobile Intrigue I always drove until I bought this car. It was 13, 14 years old. Had 600 miles on it. Robin decided to back it down the driveway, hit the neighbor's fence, crushed the fender, crushed the hood. 600 miles on it, had to have it repaired. Then, just a few years ago with her Jeep Wrangler, backing out of the garage. My car was parked over here. She's in a hurry one evening to go somewhere. She whips out, wham, right into the back of my car. Three wrecks in my backyard. Safe on the highway, just not in the backyard. So I'll just leave that up for y'all to look at. So if I seem a little addled, now we know why. No high-speed crash, no. But the insurance adjuster got a good laugh out of it. And you'll like this, Verna. I called because they took the car somewhere near Jimmy, so I called Jimmy. And he said, take it, you know, have him go ahead and take it. This guy, I know him. And I called the guy. He started laughing, said it could only be one of Jimmy's friends. Had nothing to say to that. So I have to tell on myself. I always do, ever since a little boy. If I'm going to laugh at you, I got to laugh at me too. And I sure laugh at you guys a lot. We need to be praying for everyone. We have a minute for mission. Is that true? Okay, and I have an announcement here. Church Growth Life Team will be meeting after church in the library. Please be sure to sign your red pads with your name, address, those types of information. We would appreciate it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise 66, to God be the glory.
Thank you.
Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you for the grace you have given us. We worship you because of your great love for humanity. Forgive us when we do not love one another. Forgive us when we do not extend grace and mercy to our friends and family. Help us to love our neighbors. Remind us that everyone should be treated the way we want to be treated. May we understand that love is given in word and deed. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus
Christ. Join together with our neighbors and other churches around the world as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. Descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and stood on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of body, and life everlasting.
Let's take a minute and greet one another. If you don't know someone's name, ask them.
Bye.
thank Mickey for picking that song, perfect for the sermon, and the choir for being here today to sing it. Very lovely. Our responsive reading is God's Goodness on 6-7-8. It's listed wrongly. 6-7-8. God's Goodness. 6-7-8. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said amen and praised the Lord.
The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him.
You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust.
For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not be unjust, but pursue the same.
And if you salute only your brethren, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? What man of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone?
Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent?
If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? We know that in everything God works for good with those who love him and are called according to his purpose.
For those who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Every good endowment and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. I forgot who was coming today. Thank you, Arlie. They told me before service, but one of our elders. You real quickly, John Croyle had his knee surgery, and he's doing very well. He says he's at least 60% better, not feeling all the pain that he was feeling. So he believes he's going to be able to walk better. He's got to go through physical therapy, either at Paslin, or he might go out to Manicare or somewhere. He's not sure yet, but as of the day, he is still in Passover. Hilda Thompson has gone back home, and Mary Ellen Porter is back at Haven. And I would also like to add my father, who's been seeing a pain specialist for his back for years, is now going to go see a back surgeon. So I'd like prayers for him. And for all the people caught up in the flood whose lives have been altered in so many ways, not just around Pittsburgh, but around, really around the world, been a lot of flooding. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day thanking you for your love and your mercy, your guidance, the written word that you've given us to look into, to help guide us, to light our path, that we can have a better understanding of right and wrong and understand salvation. Understand who we are to be as the Church of Jesus Christ. You've called us out of the world into a relationship with you. Help us to be those people that you've called us to be, loving and kind, good neighbors to everyone, reaching out when we can help, giving compassion, food or clothes, a kind word, a meal, financial help, whatever it might be, in your name. So we lift up all these prayer requests today, spoken, written, unspoken, to you, and we lay them at your feet in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, thanking you for taking the time to hear them and to answer them according to your wisdom and your mercy and your love and your power. Help us always to accept your answer. Lord, we thank you for everything that you did when you walked upon this earth. Your miracles, your teachings, your parables, your stories. We thank you also for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation is a screen song, Forever. Thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and all the good gifts you've given to us, all the blessings that we've received, and at times not even acknowledged that it was from you. We thank you, Lord. You're an awesome God, a wonderful God, and we hope to serve you forever upon this earth and when it is our time to go to heaven, to be there to worship you with the saints that have gone before. We thank you for this everlasting love, this everlasting relationship with you. We give back of our time, our monies, everything that we are, that the kingdom of God might grow. And we ask that this specific church, Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian, will grow. We'll grow in word, in deed, in love, in kindness, in outreach, in every way possible. Help us, Lord. Let us be full and filled with your Holy Spirit. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our friend, we do pray. Amen. Thank you. While Bill is coming forward to read the scripture, I know I made the announcement about church growth and life team, and you might say, well, I'm not on that, so I have nothing to do with the meeting. All you have to do is go to the meeting to be on the committee if you would like to be a part of it, and they can explain a little bit more about what it is if you want to know, and you can say, well, yeah, I like this, or maybe, that's not for me, but you can go to the meeting and find out.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. Isn't this a glorious day to be with the Lord? Luke's left us a message in this next scripture. Again, someone was trying to catch Jesus and prove him not to be who he was by asking him, how do you inherit eternal life? How do you get to heaven? How are you saved? How do you get salvation? And Jesus turned it around and said, what does the law say? And he answered correctly from Deuteronomy and Leviticus. He said, love your God with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your heart, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as well. But just as the choir's message was, who is your neighbor? God said, everyone is your neighbor. And I've heard it from critics of Christianity saying, you can't love everybody. I've heard it from people in the prayer or this Bible study group. I've heard it from my own lips. So when we don't do God's will, we're sinning. But thank goodness God has given us a way out. For when we sin, we reject the stone, the cornerstone. And I refer to 1 Peter chapter 2. But God gave us a way out. He gave us this, the penta solas, or the five onlys, that by faith alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, as revealed in the scriptures, to the glory of God, we are saved. So as I read Luke 10, 25 through 37, please listen to your own personal message from the Holy Spirit. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down to Jerusalem from Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert of the law replied, "But the one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. I don't really think I have to introduce this person very much, with his zippered cardigans and his canvas sneakers and his handmade puppets. Mr. Rogers was a pioneer in the early days of educational ministry for children. Fred Rogers, a Presbyterian minister from Pittsburgh, who had the privilege of seeing at Presbytery one day, started developing his characters and themes of his programs in the mid-1950s. But it wasn't until 1967 that Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood took its final form and began to appear on stations across the country on the PBS stations. The sweet, sappy, smart program stayed in production until 2001 and remained on PBS stations until 2008. It's probably safe to say that there were very few of you listening today who can't sing a song along with the same song that opened the show every day. I'm not going to sing it. "It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood." And of course, parodied on the Saturday night show. As he finished tying his sneakers and zipping his cardigan, Fred Rogers would sing, "Won't you be, won't you be, won't you be my neighbor?" The concept of being a neighbor has really changed over the years. It used to be your neighbor, it was a geographic location. In early America, rural communities, your nearest neighbor might be miles away, but those neighbors would still gather together for a barn raising or for quilting bees and for harvest time and help one another out. Then the urban environments, neighborhoods were composed of thousands of residents, but those hoods, as we call them now, were drawn together and defined with their ethnic lines, Little Italy, or Germantown, or Chinatown, or whatever ethnic group it might be. You might never meet your neighbors, but you had that common ethnic identity that helped create a communal, comforting environment where you felt safe and secure. Then in the aftermath of my generation, the baby boomers, the suburbs were born. And neighbors became the people just over the backyard fence who's circling the station wagons in the cul-de-sac. But oftentimes these suburban neighbors were unknown and they were unconnected. Physical closeness led to the erection of psychological and emotional barriers because homes didn't have front porches anymore. And people had air conditioning and started locking themselves away. Then when they wanted something, they built a patio on the back of the house or a deck like I have on the back of my house, private, secluded. And prefabricated neighborhoods could be very lonely places, isolated, not knowing those around you. In today's gospel text, Jesus is confronted by a legal expert sent specifically to test him on his orthodoxy views. Did he fit into the Jewish system of beliefs? This lawyer begins by asking him what he can do to ensure his inheritance of eternal life. That is, under the Old Testament law, and there were a lot of laws, the gift of God offered those who lived religious lives and kept the law every jot and tittle. When Jesus directs his legal mind to the instructions of the law, this lawyer can immediately call to mind the correct answers. Deuteronomy 6:5 and Leviticus 19. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, all your mind. And I know sometimes we wish you'd have just left this part out. And to love your neighbor as yourself. Because I've had neighbors. Oh, boy, the last thing I wanted to do was love them. But the swift response to this legal beagle's brain is tempered by his hesitant heart. So he follows up this loving assertion with a qualifying question. Who is my neighbor? How inclusive must my circle be? Who do I really have to love? Who can I legitimately exclude? Who can I eradicate? Who can I exercise from the neighbor status? It's hard for us today to imagine how startling this story was to those who first heard it. To say that the parable of the Good Samaritan was shocking would really be a gross understatement. The righteous came off looking incredibly bad in this story, as the priest and the Levite completely abandoned the horribly wounded victim on the road, crossing literally to the other side of the road in order to avoid him, have nothing to do with him. Saying, hey, it's not my problem. As a matter of fact, my religion tells me just to stay away from him. He's not my kind. And the Jesus portrayal of the fixation on their religious duties and keeping to the letter of the law at the expense of human need, there's an implied critique of the religious establishment of Jesus' day. Has anyone ever seen the Taj Mahal? And I talked about this one time before. But it was built by the emperor in memory of his third wife, Mumtaz Mahal. And the Taj Mahal is widely recognized as one of the most beautiful buildings in the world. There's so many legends surrounding it, but my favorite, and I think everybody's favorite, is what happened during the construction of it. According to legend, the emperor often visited to check on the construction, the same you would do if you were having a house built, go by and see how things are coming along, is it up to code, making sure everything was proper. And he would bump into this large dusty box and stump his toe, and finally he stumped his toe one last time and he said, get that box away from me, it's always in my way, get it out of here. So the box was carried out, and later it was discovered that that box contained the body of his wife, the reason he was building the Taj Mahal. And I think that sometimes we forget that the church was built to honor God, the larger church worldwide, but even this specific church building here at Glenshaw Valley and the CE building, part of the church and this whole property is here to honor God, His Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And being a Christian means following Jesus' teachings in word and deed. We can't just have a church. We have to be the church. We can't just go to church. We have to always remember why we are a church and what we are called to do and how we are called to treat people in love and dignity and respect and to try to bring them into the kingdom of God. The hero of Jesus' story is a dubious character. If you think about it, first he's a Samaritan. He is an individual outside of this neighborhood. Samaritans rejected the temple culture and the centrality of Jerusalem, placing them wholly outside the familial or family circle of traditional Judaism. He didn't belong. Second, whatever more subtly, this Samaritan traveler is obviously well off. And sometimes when we read about well-off people in the Bible, we put them down. He was even rich. He's traveling with means. He has supplies. He has a ride. He has cash on hand. He knows where to stay and who to contact. Yet this well-heeled Samaritan is the hero of Jesus' story, even though he is from the wrong side of the tracks, the wrong neighborhood. In this riveting tale of the rich man and Lazarus, another story out of Luke 16, Jesus elevates this diseased, poor, wretched individual above the status of an honored, revered rich man. But for Jesus, the ultimate testing ground is not economically based. Here, the Good Samaritan parable, the righteous, kingdom-embracing individual is not only a Samaritan, but he's a rich man. So wealth here is not a bear to righteousness, but in this story, it is the bear of righteousness in this story. It gives him the means to help. The Samaritan's monetary abilities makes it possible for him to rescue, to treat, and transport, and even provide long-term care for the wounded stranger he rescues from the road. Nothing motivates the Samaritan rescuer but compassion. In short, Jesus' story includes a positive image of a poor man and a positive image of a rich man, something we normally don't see. Rich and poor, redemption and rejection, a glorified entrance into Jerusalem for Jesus and a God-awful ending at Calvary. Jesus' mission and ministry always played like it was in surround sound, larger than life, both and all-inclusive. And that is the message in the Good Samaritan parable. To be a good neighbor. Not always easy to do. Don't even always want to do it. Jesus knew we could not love our neighbor until we first realized that and we identified ourselves as the neighbor. Because we look at it through our eyes, but sometimes we have to see that we are the other. It first really came to my life and my mind when I did my first missionary trip to Jamaica and to Mexico, when I realized I was the outsider, totally outside of their culture, their language, even color. The story of the rich man and Lazarus is the only story in which Jesus gives a character a name. And he gives the main character, the poor man, the name of a good friend. And I guess Lazarus, the man he raised from the dead. But in this companion story of the rich man, the robbed victim is the only one in the story without a label. We have a priest. We have a Levite. We have a Samaritan. And with other labels of innkeepers and robbers. But the person in danger is only identified as a man. And I think that's significant. Judge Jesse Caldwell uses this absence of labels to make the point that the answer to the question of who is my neighbor is also everyone is your neighbor. In a world where we label everything and everyone, cars, clothes, wine, jewelry, countries, people, Jesus turns over the label-making tables and gives us this answer to the lawyer's question of who is my neighbor? Your neighbor is every man. Your neighbor is every woman. Your neighbor is everyone. Not just those in your circle. Not just those literally next door. Not those just who fit into your cultural perspective. In Judge Caldwell's words, labels are wrong for the one who loves the neighbor as self. In other words, all labels are libels. Not just for the one being labeled, but for the one who is labeling others. Jesus is saying that we need to stop labeling people and just start loving people. But at the heart of this parable of the Good Samaritan is not a lesson of who is my neighbor, which is the lawyer's question. The heart of the parable is about, really, how can I be a good neighbor? How can I be a good neighbor? Jesus' answer to the Lord's interrogation is the same both times. Do. Act. Love. And love is the ultimate verb. We're not to spend our lives determining who is our neighbor, asking who is our neighbor. We're to spend our time being the good neighbor to all those we encounter. Won't you be my neighbor? Like a good neighbor, the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be here and reach out to everyone. We need to see everyone as our neighbor and love everyone. Doesn't mean we have to accept the wrong things that they do or disagreeing in lifestyles, but we are still called to love. May God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn, God is So Good, number 41. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary, I hope that it felt like a welcoming, neighborly atmosphere here. And as you go back into your homes, I hope that you think about being a good neighbor to those who you live close to, but also to those who you live far away from and may be totally different from. God really wants us to love everyone upon this earth. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.